Aloha, Kalle, it's called nowadays. And yeah, as we basically we have all podcasts in German, we now want to start with the international series. We don't know if we do it once a month or maybe twice a month. And our first guest is from Sweden, Rasmus Svensson. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I just texted you before these. Unfortunately, you couldn't make it to the start line. Yeah, maybe take us a little bit through your season. You just did a big race at the beginning of the year in South Africa. Yeah. And you qualified for Nice. Yeah. And afterwards, I think you did seventh in Ironman Switzerland.
I think it was. Sorry.
So,
no worries.
Any other races this season so far?
No, not. I mean, I'm not done yet. So I still have plans. I'm planning on racing Portugal on the 21st of October. So the full distance there, and we'll see if I have enough, you know, fitness and or money to go someplace else for an additional 70.3, like in December or so. But we'll see about that. But definitely Portugal also.
Okay, yeah, maybe you have good memories from last year from the course. It seems that the course suits you.
Absolutely.
And after South Africa, what happened to you so that you had such a long time with not racing?
No, that's a good question. I mean, I got back from South Africa and I was in really good shape before South Africa. I had a training camp on Playitas where I did some of the best sessions I've ever done. I mean, it was quite a bit of a shock to come down to Port Elizabeth where the race is, because it was much earlier than usual, this race. So it was crazy hot and humid there. And I didn't have enough time to acclimatize properly before the race. Also on race, it was like an extremely humid day. It was a good race. Definitely the bike was really good. I was definitely sort of like power wise in line with what I would expect from myself. The run was I was very affected by the humidity there. But then I got home and I actually planned on doing Oceanside because I felt like the fitness was still really good. And I did like half a week of really good training. So I recovered fairly fast from South Africa. But then, I got super sick in COVID and was like, basically down for like two and a half weeks or so, like lying in bed. It took like so long time to get back in shape from that. So that's why I sort of like only targeted Switzerland. I hope that I may be able to race like a little bit before that, but you know, the shape was just it didn't really come along until the last 4 to 6 weeks before Switzerland. So I didn't basically had any choice than to wait until Switzerland to do another race.
And if you said like your numbers before South Africa have been the best in your life, just take us with them. Was this like one of your main sets? I know that you are quite transparent on Strava and everybody can look all your sessions and can cope it if they want to. So, but what was your best session in front of this qualifying race for you?
Oh, I think like the second week I did, I did like a really good, I did a two, like almost like a full Ironman, or like, yeah, a little bit more than an Ironman, over 2 days. So the first day I did like a full Ironman swim in race pace. I think it was like maybe 4 by 1K or something like that, in race pace, and then like a little bit of warm up. And I wasn't super, I mean, my swim shape wasn't that good. I have like struggled with the swim since basically my accident. So maybe I swam like 122, 23 per 100 or so for the 1K, in the pool there, on Playitas. So not that great, but like, yeah, not catastrophic either. And then, yeah, I went straight onto the bike, and did like a full, so like straight out of the water. So I had the bike standing next to the pool, and then I did a full 180 K ride at race pace. So like 330, 335 watts average, something like that. And it's quite slow also on Playitas, so it took almost, I think it almost took like 4.5 hours there. So that was a quite a hard ride, straight out of the water. And then the next day I did another 3 hours race pace, before like a brick run, and the brick run was like 28K. And yeah, I felt really good on that brick run. So yeah, I managed to hold like spot on, like exactly 2:30 marathon pace for the 28K off the bike. And that was, yeah, it was almost like I have not done like any kind of that good brick sessions in the past. So I was very, very happy with that, yeah, especially that brick run. I know the bike is basically, I mean, I felt good and it felt controlled, and I had the power came easy and I didn't fatigue and all that, but the run was what surprised me the most, like how well it was. So that was probably like my peak 2 days, and I did basically exactly that 3 times over the 3 weeks I was there. So once a week I did this like one full Ironman swim straight into like a full Ironman bike, and then the next day in the morning a 3 hour race pace ride into like a 25 to 28K run at race pace, or like a little bit over race pace.
Yes, it sounds insane that just to COVID, it's like I went nearly every week, and my co-host Konrad is watching your training on Strava, and yeah, he has one big question. How do you manage to fuel up? Because during this session, it's all around race pace, and you lose a lot of energy. And if you say it like you do this for 3 weeks, so how do you manage to cope the energy level that high to compensate all that outtake?
I eat a lot to start with, but I make sure to really fuel the sessions as good as possible. That's like step one, I would say. I mean, to really, practice race nutrition. So that's for me like 120, 130 grams of carbohydrates per hour. And also, I mean, during this period, this was like the specific period before the race. So I had like a large emphasis on the race on these 2 days. So these, I mean, yeah, I did some other crazy sessions during those weeks as well, but maybe I should have like dialed things down like a little bit even more, to really sort of like put all the focus on these two days, and then sort of like make sure to really refuel. But I did have like 2 very easy days before these 2 days, and then I had a very easy day straight after, and then I had 2 sort of like, yeah, quite big days. So I did this like, I think Wednesday, Thursday. So I had easy Monday, Tuesday, and then these two big days, Wednesday, Thursday, and then easy Friday, and then I had like a big weekend also. But yeah, that's a challenge, and I don't think you can do that. I mean, it's, and also I think that I did dial things down a little bit also during the last week, because I felt that the shape was there, so I felt like I have more to lose. I didn't want to injure myself or like, you know, get into overtraining or something like that. So I thought that it would take probably like 2 weeks to really get into this like super good shape, but it only took like 1 week in Plaitas. So then the final week is was more like, okay, yeah, let's not do this super crazy again. So I'm just gonna preserve what I have, and you know, don't risk getting sick or injured. So you have to feel like where you are, and yeah, if you need to push a little bit more to get into shape, or if you sort of like it's time to start back down. But yeah, I mean, it takes a lot of energy. That's for sure.
Yeah, so but you managed it and you succeeded in South Africa and you qualified for these. Have you been the same like yeah? What's you say? They are like your goal, qualifying for these as high as qualifying for CODA, or was it a kind of okay? It's the main target, but CODA is still a bigger target.
Yeah, for me definitely Kona is a bigger target. I mean, that's I mean, I was actually really excited for Nice and to do the world champs there. And I think that the bike course, I mean, it's really good. I think it's really good for someone like me who is yeah, still quite weak in the water. I mean, it's not as sort of like drafting, yeah, it's not equally, yeah, how to put it. I mean, if you're not sort of like in a pack, you don't suffer as much as like in Kona, for instance, or other flatter courses. So it's more like everyone does their own bike race, and that plays into my strength, I believe. So I was excited for it, but for me, I mean, I'm quite like passionate and emotional about the sport, and then it's been all about Kona. So yeah, I was definitely disappointed that they did the split up, but now it is what it is. And yeah, for I mean, I was still excited for it, and it was definitely sort of like the main goal of the year, to perform at my best there. So
Yeah, and maybe you and also everybody else was looking out for you and watching you. And unfortunately, you just told me and also on Instagram,
yeah,
you got hit by COVID again.
again, yeah, crazy. This time it was so much like the acute infection was not bad at all, to be honest. It was only, I was like really sick for 1 day with like high fever and like a lot of headache and stuff like that, and then I was very weak for another 3 4 days or so. But I didn't have any sore throat or like coughing, or like a snuffy nose or something like that. So it was only like, yeah, fever and like extreme tiredness and headache. So I thought actually that I was quite lucky. You know, this will pass by. Yeah, it passed by pretty quickly, and there wasn't any, you know, focal symptoms lingering. But when I start to train, I felt like that my breathing was like basically out of control. I was running, you know, my, yeah, paces I don't normally run, like in training, like 4:30 per k or so, and it was like I was doing threshold intervals almost. And I also was super fatigued, So I could sleep like 10 hours a night, and then, you know, went up, felt pretty alert, and then, yeah, went out for like an easy 45 minutes swim or something, and then, you know, just crashed in bed again for another hour. So it was very, very strange everything, and I was I traveled down to Nice as we had planned. We had booked our tickets far in advance, and you know, the first, or like, or basically the full time there, I couldn't make it up the climbs without stopping to catch my breath. So that's, you know, how insanely off I was, sort of like my body didn't respond at all. And it just, you know, kept on. I was like, every day I was like, okay, now it's gonna today tomorrow it's gonna be t tomorrow it's gonna be fine. But it just kept on like week after week. So yeah, we were around just a week before race week, and then I hadn't really, yeah, between Switzerland and Nice, I had only done like 1.5 weeks of proper training, and before I like I took some like, yeah, 1 to 2 weeks very easy after Switzerland to recover, and then I started to build up, and then after 1.5 weeks I got sick, so I had barely trained for, yeah, like 1.5 weeks of good training in the last like 7 weeks. So I felt like I was still feeling the COVID infection, that it was sort of lingering, and I wasn't fully healthy, but also like my fitness was, I mean, obviously not good at all. And then, yeah, for me, I mean, if I'm gonna take part in a world championship, then I want to be able to perform. I mean, you cannot expect to that everything goes like exactly according to plan, obviously, but you want to be at least, let's say, 95%. But at the moment, I was like 60%. So it did not make any sense to try and make it, yeah, to give it a shot. At the time, I
How,
think, yeah, sorry.
yeah, how hard was it to cancel it? Like in 2022, like you put a lot of work into St. George, also world champs, and yeah, as I remember, you got hit by a car in Fuerteventura, and then everybody can watch out your crazy turbo sessions, like 6 hours on the turbo, because you still believed to make it to the start line. But yeah, unfortunately, you had to cancel this one as well. And then you told me in Portugal last year that your training and workload was too high, so that you couldn't qualify or couldn't make any full distance to qualify for Kona. So like, it's the third time, and you are really it's just about to start, and you have to cancel it again. How was the feeling?
I mean, it was surreal, to be honest. It was really like, it was almost like I didn't grasp that this was happening, because like everything, the first like 1.5 weeks of the build-up, I really felt like, you know, now my body is responding again, and I was like hopeful that maybe I can reach, you know, the same shape that I had like before South Africa. But then, yeah, it was almost like I didn't really believe what was happening. I was like, what's going on? And yeah, it was hard to, because it's been like such a rough 1.5 years, as you like, as you say, with first, like, yeah, I think that St. George would have suited me really well, the bike course there, and I was excited to go to the United States and to race there. And then, yeah, I got the accident, and I was super motivated to make my way back, and I probably pushed my body too hard, you know, in my comeback, because I was just so motivated to make it back, for St. George. But yeah, that was obviously impossible, and maybe I should have realized that much earlier. But still, I think, you know, I lived on the hope for quite some time, and that's, yeah, I mean, maybe it would have helped if, I would maybe I wouldn't have pushed my body too hard. If I really wouldn't have if I had accepted that, St. George was not going to happen. But still it was much more fun to do that kind of to do that kind of training. You were much more like passionate and like motivated when you did all that sessions in the in the comeback. So it was probably good for one reason. But yeah, it was I mean yeah, it was most surreal, I would say. It was almost like I didn't like believe that I would get this. And it was like it was such a silly sort of like the acute infection was so it felt so silly. So it just didn't seem right that like this little this little small infection could ruin like the entire race. But it sort of like gradually sank into me, and yeah, I had to accept it, and yeah.
Okay, so and now are you back to full training load, or you still take a little bit easy, or have to take it a little bit easy before start preparation to Portugal, or are you back into full load?
I think that this week now was probably like the first week of like real proper training where I did 25 plus hours. But everything before that has been like gradually ramping things up. And yeah, and also like in the when everything was like very dark in and then I felt that yeah, I mean things had really not gone my way for quite some time. I started to because I really enjoyed coaching myself and planning my own training, but I start at that point I started to sort of like doubt myself and think that yeah, I don't really trust that I can make it back on my own. So then I actually reached out to my old coach, David Tilbury Davis, who I was with, when I had a great season in 2021, and yeah, he accepted to take me on once more, and yeah, we're now back together, and that feels very. I feel it's been a good. It's been something that's it's an additional motivational factor for me to start working together again with him, and that's sort of like it's made things a lot easier. I think also like in the because it was I could sort of like have this collaboration that we started once again. That was sort of something positive that came into this, and so it didn't not feel like it was only sort of like a bad thing that Nice didn't happen because it made
Okay,
me.
it was just you just reached out after this to him,
Yeah, or it
or
was like before Nice,
yeah.
but I had sort of like decided not to do it, and I just discussed because he still knows me. We worked together for 2.5 years, so. So it was maybe like 1 week before Nice, I reached out to him, and I just discussed the situation and thought like, yeah, what do you think about this? And yeah, he was definitely thinking that it would not be wise racing given the past weeks. So and from yeah from there, so we're back together, and yeah, that's really sort of like lighten the spark again to really start all over and just put the last 1.5 years behind me and yeah start building. It feels really good.
Yeah, so fingers crossed, you have a great race in Portugal and yeah, do a
Yeah.
good Ironman there.
Yeah.
As you said, like You did South Africa, you did I read Switzerland, and you were supposed to do the World Champs at least. And now you decide to do another full one in Portugal. How do you feel about the short distance development with the PTO? Are you interested in this kind of racing, or is your full focus really on the long distance? Or are you aiming also going for PTO always at some point?
At the moment, I feel like I'm very much I'm trying to really follow what I'm most passionate about, and that's the full distance, like by a long stretch. So I mean, if I would turn to the PTO event, if they remain the same 100K distance, then I would, yeah, that it would more like be for financial reasons. And I think that's, I mean, it's dangerous when you start like prioritizing things too much upon financial reasons. I mean, if I would become really successful or like do some really good results on the Ironman, then perhaps I would get the chance to compete in the PTO races. But and then I would probably accept it also, because that could be fun. But it's not something that at the moment is a priority for me, because I think that my heart is with the Ironman distance. That's why I got into the sport, and that's what I love, and I try to stick to that, and to, you know, let my passion be, yeah, what controls, yeah, or what decides, yeah,
Yeah, it's
most
really
choices for
cool.
me.
It's really cool that you stick to your aim and your goals for a cola. And like, how is it about the PTO races, or also 73 racing, the community in Sweden? How do they feel? Are they really more into Ironman, or is like PTO now the rising star? How is that about the age group community in Sweden? How do they feel about these races?
Ooh, that's a good question, actually. I'm not really. I think that most people are still like that do like long distance triathlon, that do like 70.3 or Ironman. The most of them are most interested in Ironman, or at least the kind of like, I think there's quite a large group of people that I mean do 70.3, but they do it more, they're not like it's more of a fun kind of a recreational race, and they don't follow like professional sports. But the ones like the age group is that are interested in the professional side of the sports, then I think they're still most interested in Ironman, I would say. I don't, I'm not really sure, to be honest. Well, I've not really discussed it with a lot of Swedish age groupers.
Yeah, like in Germany or in Europe, you see like a lot of young guys from also the first division in Germany or the French division. They move up into 70.3 or PTO races at the age of 20, and they are really aiming for this kind of race. And yeah, it was not just about the age group perspective I asked for, also like for the young generation. Yeah, maybe I missed this one. How is this in Sweden?
We don't have that many like
Okay.
young. I mean, it's not like in Germany where you have like a tons of people doing. I think the young ones that I know, they are still like fully focused on the Olympic distance, and the sprint distance. Yeah, I would say. But then we have like Gabriel Sandör. He's on the borderline, trying to, will probably go over to 70.3 and eventually long distance as well, at some point. But
Yeah, he did what he I think he finished fourth last year worldwide.
But
So he's did pretty well there.
he's taking the step, and I think he can do really well on the 70.3 and also the full distance. So it will be exciting to it will depend if he makes the Olympics for 2024 or not. But otherwise, I think he will compete more and more in the 7.3s.
So and now let's go back to your plan of racing. So you decided for Portugal. I just remembered like this coast is quite hilly at the beginning, then it gets completely flat at the coastline. And I just remember that you were hanging into the group last year because your chain dropped. And after the race, we went out for dinner, and you told me you were quite surprised how less watts you have to push at the end of the groove. So how do you will target how do we target that race? So because it's a full one, and I just heard that Patrick Lange is also starting. Luckily, he's already qualified for Kona, and I think it's also your aim to get maybe one of the spots. How are you targeting that race? And what's your aim for that race?
I haven't really discussed with my coach yet.
Oh, okay, so still some time.
Still some time. It's still almost 5 weeks away, but I think that I'm feeling very motivated at the moment. I'm feeling like I'm in for some serious suffering, which you're not always in that mood. But when you're in that mode, I think then you will attack the race fairly aggressively, I think. So that's probably, I mean, my swim is not really, it's still quite weak. I'll most definitely have some catching up to do, but I hope that I mean that it's not, I mean it's not a super hard course, but it's still like quite a challenging course. And even along the coastline, it's a little bit rolling also. And I think I think that the course suits me really well. And I think on the bike I'll probably be fairly aggressive to try and go as fast as I can. And then on the run we'll see what you have left. But it's quite a tough run course. That's you remember that one as well. It's not, I think like four loops on that one will be pretty hard to people.
Yeah, it's really hilly, so you don't you, yeah
So
so
that yeah, we'll see. It'll be hard. It'll be really hard.
yeah but fingers crossed for you and for your race.
Oh, thank you.
Will you head to Portugal before you will you do your whole prep at home?
No, I'll do basically all my prep at home because I really want some rhythm and some continuity in my training. So no, I'll go there probably. Or yeah, I have booked my flight, so I'll go there on the Monday before the race, and the race is on Saturday, so it's just a week on site. If things would be fairly warm, then it can be good to have that kind of a time. But it's quite easy travels also from Sweden.
Yes, so it's really great, and you too. Like at the end of the year, you will do some other races, or is that your final race of 2023?
I feel that I would like to race more. So I've been looking a little bit on Bahrain potentially, or maybe Indian Wells, but it depends like a little bit on my financial situation. So if I it would be nice to go to California, but we'll see if it's too expensive. It might be hard, so we'll see. But I feel like I've not been able to race as much as I've liked to this year, because of like all the interruptions with sickness and stuff like that. So it would be nice to add some, and also like looking at the race calendar next year, the races start quite late also, so otherwise it might be like a very long like build up, which
So
would be
let
nice. Yeah.
me guess, South Africa is on the list for 2024.
Of course, it's a great race. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so like if you qualify for Cola in Portugal, you will still do South Africa?
Yes, most likely, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so like I think you will be one of the guys who will win this race once because like you're heading over every year.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic race. It's a hard white course. It's a
Yeah.
challenging course. I also love that race. And
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, fingers already crossed also for that one for you.
Ah, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, so yeah, thanks for the chat, Rasmus. Yeah,
Oh, thanks.
Everybody from our podcast will look out in Portugal. I haven't seen the start list now, but yeah, still 5 weeks' time, as
Yeah.
you already told us.
Yep.
So yeah, fingers crossed, and hopefully you get an early Cola slot.
Yes, we'll see. I think it will be quite a decent start list, so we'll see about the, I mean, I just hope to have like a race that goes in the right direction. That's my main goal. And if it's a Kona slot, then it's a Kona slot. But otherwise, I think there will be plenty of chances for that. So I'm trying to not put too much pressure on myself
Yeah, for sure.
to sort it out already. But it would be super nice, of course.
Yeah, so good luck and yeah, good time in Portugal. Enjoy the sun there and the
Ah,
suffering
thank you.
before.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
and yeah, thanks for the chat.
Thank you, thank you.